All right, everybody, good morning. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the September 7th, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. And my name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed as a land use hearing examiner for Chelan County by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners. My job is to render decisions on various matters that are authorized to come before me. And what we have on today are appeals of administrative decisions. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. The hearing process does have certain rules, but I will try to conduct the meeting in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a procedure we're going to use. We'll take each item separately, and for each item, we'll have staff make an introduction as to the decision that was made, and then the applicant or the applicant's representative will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The applicant does have the burden of proof to show that the administrative decision was made in error. Then I will go back to the county if they have any concluding remarks that they want to make. And because the applicant has the burden of proof, if the applicant wishes to submit any rebuttal argument or materials after the county's rebuttal, then they'll be allowed to do so. How the hearing will proceed is that if you want to... you want to testify, I will have you unmute yourself, and then I'll have you state your name and address for the record, and then I will swear you in as a witness. I'd ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about, not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. And if you had anything in writing that you want to submit today, we can make those arrangements. I would note again for the record that this is, while it's open, it's an open record public hearing. There's no general public testimony on any of these matters. These are matters between the appellant and the county. So the only witnesses that will be allowed are those that are called by either the appellant or the county. So I just want that to be clear. If there's somebody here that came to watch today, unless you're called as a witness, you will not be allowed to testify. There is now, except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding request to reopen a hearing and request for reconsideration, my decision is final and conclusive. The only exception is that they can be appealed. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action. They have to be filed within 21 days of the date of my issuance of my decision, and those are filed with Chelan County Superior Court. And if the appeal is not timely filed, the appeal would be barred. I reviewed all three of the items that are on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I will be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the exhibits to the staff report and all the materials submitted by the appellants, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This is administrative appeal, as I indicated. It's given application number AA22300. This is an administrative appeal regarding the denial of a short-term rental permit. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all those appeal materials, all the noticing documents, and then the appellant has submitted an appeal brief, the declaration of Mr. Gatens with some attachments. There is a declaration of Kenneth Hirsch and a declaration of Robert Wilbur with attachments. All those items are admitted into the record at this time by this reference. And I will turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. Good morning. The property in question here is located at 12 Norling Lane in Leavenworth, Washington. The applicant submitted materials to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental December 29, 2021, and was granted a provisional STR permit pending full review. Chelan County Code 1188-290, Section 4DII states an application for or issuance of any provisional short-term rental permit does not guarantee future issuance of a short-term rental administrative land use permit under subsection 4 of this section. The provisional permit is intended to be temporary and is only in effect while the department reviews all permit applications for compliance with all Chelan County regulations, including this chapter, for the 21 2021 and 2022 permit years before issuance or denial of issuance of a short-term rental administrative land use permit. This parcel that we're talking about today holds two dwellings, a larger main dwelling referred to as Icicle House on online listings, and a smaller dwelling referred to as Bunkhouse as on online listings. Chelan County Code 1188-200, Section 5, in reference to ADUs, states that the property owner, which shall include title holders and contract purchasers, shall occupy either the primary unit or the accessory unit as their primary residence. This property is owned by Icicle Bunk LLC with Robert Wilbur as a registered agent. Further, Robert L. Wilbur and Brenda F. Wilbur are then listed as governors. None of the owners, agents, governors of the LLC physically live on the property. The address for the Wilbers is listed on their application as being in Coopville, Washington. The LLC is listed as having the 12 Norling Lane address. Chelan County Code 1188-290, Section 3AII states, a short-term rental owner may operate only one short-term rental parcel per parcel as designated on their permit application form, which may be either in the primary dwelling or the accessory dwelling, but not in both. The owners have been renting both dwellings. July 13, 2022, a letter was sent to the applicant notifying them of the denial of the final permit for existing nonconforming status. July 26, the Administrative Appeal A22-300 was filed with Chelan County Community Development with the associated application fees. Staff recommends that the denial be upheld based on the applicant not living on site and not being allowed to rent more than one dwelling on a parcel.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Gatens, is the applicant ready to, or the appellant ready to proceed?
We are.
All right. Can you state your name and an address for the record?
Clay Gatens on behalf of the Wilbers and the related entities, Icicle and Bunk LLC. Address of record is 305 Applets Way, Cashmere, Washington, 98815.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Gatens, will you be providing any testimony today or relying upon the evidence that you've submitted?
I won't be providing any testimony. My clients won't be providing any testimony other than the written testimony via declaration that they've submitted, and then I'll be relying on those that declaration as well as the other materials submitted with my letter brief to you and my declaration as well.
All right, then please proceed.
Well, good morning. Good to see you, Mr. Examiner.
Good morning, always good to see you.
So, you know, as the staff just sort of reiterated based on their denial, the denial in this matter was based on two discrete issues. The first is the county's contention that there are two dwellings on the parcel, and that's a violation of Chelan County Code 1188-200. The second basis is that they that there's more than one short-term rental on the property, which is also a violation of the short-term rental ordinance. When looking at this, the denial is flawed under basic legal non-conforming land use analysis. And so there's a state law legal non-conforming analysis that applies to both of those contentions. But there's also a basis to overturn the denial based on the short-term rental ordinance itself. So I'll take those in two parts. The first part is looking at the analysis relating to the fact that there are there is an ADU on the property and there is a primary residence on the property. There's no dispute about that. However, the ADU, the primary residence was built originally in the 1930s, and then there was an addition sometime in the 1990s. And then the ADU was permitted and built in the late 80s, I believe, as well. And Chelan County Code has its own non-conforming use code, which is at Chelan County Code 1197-010, that specifically allows for legal non-conforming uses to be grandfathered against subsequent zoning changes. And that's well-established case law that's cited in our briefing, but the threshold case on that, as you may be well aware, is Road Azalea and 35th Inc. v. Snohomish County, 132nd Wynn Second one. And so here in this case, as to the notion that there's an ADU on the property that's not owner-occupied, and there's also a primary residence on the owner-occupied that's not owner-occupied that violates Chelan County code 1188-200 sub 5 is wrong, because that ADU use was established prior to the code being the 1188-200 sub 5 being enacted in 2007. The declaration testimony, the clear evidence in the record, and the county makes no contention otherwise, is that ADU existed prior to the 2007 enactment under 1188-200 sub 5 that doesn't allow for an ADU unless one or the other is occupied by the owner. And so that basis for denial fails, because that use of having an ADU and a primary residence, neither of which were owner occupied, was established well before the 2007 enactment of Cheyenne County Code 1188-205. So that disposes of that basis for the denial based on clear Washington law regarding legal nonconforming uses. Prior to 2007, there simply was no requirement in Cheyenne County that in order to have a legal ADU, you had to occupy one or the other. And so that's the basis for that error. The second basis for the denial was the notion that under the short-term rental code, the Cheyenne County Code 1188-290-3A2, a property can't have two short-term rentals operating on one single property. However, here again, it's the same legal non-conforming use analysis. The declaration testimony of Mr. Wilbur, all of the materials in the record show that well in advance of the 2001 enactment of 1188-290, the Wilbers and their predecessors in interest, dating back to the early 2000s, rented out both the ADU and the primary residence on a short-term rental basis. And the record has records of their listings, has records of their the short-term rental companies that they used to do that, and there's simply no material dispute that they rented both units out on a short-term rental basis for almost a decade or more prior to the enactment of 1188-293A2. So the same analysis applies, that those were legal non-conforming uses that were established prior to the 2001 enactment of 1188-293A sub 2. So both of the bases in the denial simply fail under well-established state law addressing legal non-conforming uses. And that again falls clearly under Chelan County Code's own provision for non-conforming uses at 1197.010. So those are the state law legal non-conforming bases that refute and demand denial of reversal of the county's denial. But there's also a third basis, which I think you and I have had the opportunity to discuss a number of times, and that's actually found within the short-term rental ordinance itself at Chelan County Code 1188-290. And that, we've been through it, and it's specifically, it's 1188-290 sub 2CV that expressly provides a safe harbor for, quote, existing non-conforming STRs of any tier level are not subject to the limitations in this subsection 2C, provided that they comply with all of the sub provisions of 2E, which deal with parking and life safety and signage and those sorts of things. And so even if we didn't have state law recognizing legal non-conforming uses, and even if we didn't have Chelan County Code recognizing legal non-conforming uses, but we do, the short-term rental ordinance itself at 1188-292E2A expressly contemplates safe harbors for non-conforming uses prior to the enactment of the short-term rental ordinance in 2001. So in conclusion, Mr. Examiner, the basis for denying the application was premised on the notion that, one, there's an ADU and a primary residence on the property, neither of which are owner-occupied. The answer to that is those are grandfathered non-conforming uses that existed well in advance of the 2000 enactment that the county's relying on. Secondly, in a similar analysis under state non-conforming law, renting out both of those units on a short-term rental basis well preceded the 2021 enactment prohibiting that. And thirdly, although I don't think it's necessary for the Mr. Examiner to reach, because I think you reached the conclusion under the first state law analysis and the Chelan County Code non-conforming analysis, but the Chelan County Code 1188-290-2E-2A specifically contemplates grandfathering in exactly these type of uses. And for those matters, we respectfully request that Mr. Examiner reverse the county's denial.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gatens. The reliance upon county and state law on non-conforming uses is a new issue that's been brought up, so I will have to take a careful look at that. On the 1188-2E-2A, I've ruled on that before. I'm just curious if you have filed any appeals of my decisions, and if so, have there been any decisions rendered on those?
Yeah, we have filed appeal, I think, of all of those decisions. There has not been a ruling on them as yet.
Okay, I'm just curious, have they been consolidated or are they being handled one by one by one by one?
No, we were able to consolidate them, or the majority of them. There's approximately three or four that really have identical issues and relate to the Leavenworth UGA area issue, you might recall. A few others that have a slightly different issue, same issue, but then a slightly different issue that might relate to an ADU. But we were able to consolidate the majority of those cases. There's a statute that was passed in, I think, 2019 that allows for the Superior Court to send those cases up for direct review in front of the Court of Appeals. And so that's where those cases are currently, is they're consolidated and pending review by the Court of Appeals. And we've just started briefing on that.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Thank you very much.
And one thing I might add on that, just in the context of some of those similar cases that we're looking at, this 1188-292E issue that we've talked about, those cases had that component of they're located in an UGA area that the county contends doesn't allow for the short-term rental use in that zoning. That's not the case here. There's no contention here that the underlying zoning or where these properties are located aren't in zones that short-term rentals would be allowed. The only contention here is that there's non-owner occupied ADU, and that there's both primary and ADU being rented as short-term rentals. And again, that analysis is, those uses all predated the ordinances that restrict that now.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anything else from the appellant?
Oh, I'm sorry, nothing further.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Riles, anything further from the county?
No, thank you.
All right, Mr. Gatens, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna close the record on this. I've admitted all the exhibits that I referenced, all the materials that you've submitted. I need to, quite frankly, review the non-conforming use argument that you have made regarding county and state common law. County code and state common law. I'm not going to state my preliminary thoughts because I think they probably would sound really, really confusing. Anyway, it's an interesting issue for me to dive into. So thank you very much. We will now turn to the second item on today's agenda, and this is also an appeal of a denial of a short-term rental permit. It's given file number AA22-314. And for the record, I'm going to admit into the record, let me get here to the file, the staff's staff report and the appeal materials, the noticing documents. I received three documents either late last night or early this morning. One of them is entitled, I'll just call it Grand Prix. I don't know how to pronounce the name. Grand Prix appeal comments. There's Grand Prix document A and Grand Prix oral testimony. And so I'm going to admit all those items. Indeed, I'll admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. And once again, turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So this specific property is at 157 Fury Avenue in Manson, Washington. This applicant submitted materials to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental permit in November 4th, 2021. It was granted a provisional permit pending full review. Chelan County Code 1188-290-4D2 states application or issuance of provisional short-term rental does not guarantee future issuance for future short-term rental administrative land use permit under subsection 4, as I previously stated. Chelan County Code 1190-060 required off-street parking specifically states that for Tier 1, 2, and 3 short-term rentals, the required off-street parking is one space per bedroom. Code 1188-290 Section 3CI states to provide a residential parking not located within a setback and not within any recorded access easement consistent with the provisions of Chapter 1190. Further stated in Section 2EIC is that parking requirements must be met within 1 year of the effective date of the ordinance. This rental is requesting to rent three bedrooms, which would require three parking spaces. This parcel has no parking spaces on the parcel that are not within an easement or setback area. July 19th, a letter was sent to the applicant to notify them of the denial of final permit for existing non-conforming status. August 2nd, 2022, Administrative Appeal AA-22314 was filed with Chelan County Community Development with the associated application fees. Excuse me. staff recommends upholding the denial on basis of the fact that there is no parking as required on the parcel.
All right, thank you very much. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Good morning, sir. I am Sean Lynn, and I'm representing Jesse Grand Prix as a client of ours with Love Leavenworth, and I'm ready to move forward.
All right. Are you going to be providing, I know you have indicated you're going to read your testimony into the record. I don't know that that's necessary. I'm not going to stop you because it's already in the record. But if you wish to, you're allowed to. So I'm going to put you under oath in case you give any testimony. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And you've indicated you're here is an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the appellant and property owner today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Now, what would you like to comment?
I agree with you. I would not like to read this either. Have you had a chance to review this document?
I reviewed all three documents that were forwarded to me that I had in my inbox this morning.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I'll just go over the highlights then and answer any questions you may have, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Ms. Grand Prix would like a chance to speak at the end of this as well and make a statement. Okay, first, just introducing yourself, myself. I have been involved with this since 2017. I have a deep understanding of this code. I also have a deep understanding of some of the legislative intent that was there. I was working with former Director Brown closely on a lot of these items and was a member of the task force. This agreement is not based on a motion. It's not based on asking you for interpretation. We're simply asking that you ask the county to follow the code as it's written. We believe that the code erroneously, that the SDR staff applied code erroneously, and they were using code from the new parking standards out of Section 3. Clearly, we laid out and again, we're going to go back to just like in the primary is that or the first appeal there that in the code 2EC, it's the short-term rental standards immediately meets all the requirements. I really want to highlight the last part of that one sentence there. Community development called out the first part. I want to highlight the last, and that is that all of that subsection 3 standards are to be applied except that in the Manson Urban Growth Area, all provisions consistent with Section 1123-040 as it existed on August 25th, 2020 shall be met. So what we're saying is that the county is erroneously applying subsection 3 new parking codes when in fact the actual codes that should be met are from 1123040 as it existed on October 25th. I did supply that to you for review as well. So we do want to say that this is not something I normally do, so bear with me here.
That's fine.
And I really don't want to read all this either. We do want to say that the primary reason that we're disputing this is just simply it was the wrong section of code that was applied. This particular property was permitted in 2017 by Chelan County as an STR. And we believe that that's code language, and the code language from 1123040 as written in the new code should be the guiding code. 1123040 for parking standards. That goes to section 3, I believe it's 0403AII. Provide at least one off-street parking space outside the required setbacks for each two rented bedrooms. Where off-street parking requirements cannot be met, the number of rented bedrooms shall be limited. Therefore, 1123040 clearly calls out that there was a provision for properties that could not meet off-street parking requirements and that they should be allowed to continue to operate, albeit limited in occupancy. We want to point out that Ms. Grand Prix's home would have been approved for 8 occupancy, but instead was at 6 and allowed for 2 parking spaces, no less than 3 times on an annual basis by the county itself. Are there any questions on our argument there, sir, that I can help clarify?
No, I think I understand what you're arguing fairly well after reading your materials.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate that. There is a secondary argument that we would like to throw out there in case that parking standards from the new code are applied. And if we cannot, I want to point out that there is section 4AII in the new code that clearly lays out that the Grand Prix are allowed a grace period to comply with regulations as an existing STR. And that grace period ends on 12/31/22 and allows the Grand Prix to continue operations as they have already been provisionally permitted for the calendar year as they work through that. The Grand Prix prior to this denial and to this day still continue to try to resolve that issue should they be required to meet the new parking standards in the new code. So we want to make sure that, sir, that you understand that we believe that staff has erroneously cited 1188-290-2E-2C, which states, which as stated, gives that September 27th deadline. However, the county fails to read that very first line of 2EIIC, and that is that it's got to meet the criterion grace period within sections of 2EI. One thing I want to point out there is 2EI contains 7 different criteria to meet. I can understand if one of that criteria did not have a deadline associated with it, that 7/27 would be a fallback time to shut down. However, in G of that same subsection, it points specifically to 4A2. 2EIG refers to what to do when an existing issue comes up. So I would argue that the Grand Prix should be allowed until the end of the year to continue to try to resolve their issue. And I would ask that a recommendation be made of an additional 6 months, which is allowed in code. A recommendation be made by you for an additional 6 months due to the fact that we've had to go through this denial process and the research that's been involved.
So is it the appellant's position then if I do that and they don't have proper parking within that period of time, that they would agree that they have to cease and desist use of the property as a short-term rental? Or is this just a, or are they going to try to continue on some other means after that point?
Sir, I would say that the Grand Prix and myself understand that you can grant this appeal or grant a positive appeal here and allow the Grand Prix to continue operating. However, that does not mean that they are going to be granted a fully reviewed provisional permit. We do understand that. And that if Miss Grand Prix cannot meet the parking criteria, that there may, that she will have to cease to exist. Or I don't know what that looks like. You know, I mean, the county may have to deny again, and then she could fight that denial of why she's being denied if she was given the chance to fix the problem. I can see a situation coming up where the Grand Prix did what they could to fix the problem, and the county said that it wasn't enough, I guess is my point. I suppose there needs to be some provision for her to challenge that if that case goes. But I would say that we understand that if she does not receive a fully reviewed administrative permit, that she will have to shut down.
All right. Thank you very much. And is there anything further from you, Mr. Lynn, or should I turn this over to Ms. Grand Prix now?
Just that I would say that it also is very clear in the application process for existing STRs, not new, but existing STRs, that the criteria within 2E is the standards that need to be applied.
All right.
And that's all I have, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. It was a useful argument and written materials. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Grand Prix, did you wish to testify today?
Do you have any specific questions for me?
No.
Yeah, I think you pretty much understand the summary. So I bought this house as
an investment. If you're going to testify, I need to have you state your name, and then I'm going to put you under oath.
Okay. My name is Jesse Grand Prix.
All right. And have you raised your right hand for me? And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Now, what would you like to tell me?
I think you get the gist of it. I bought this house in 2020. It was a permitted STR, had a building permit from 1972, had STR permits since 2017. Our contract even had a clause stating that we're to honor the existing vacation rentals. We put the property into an LLC. We obtained provisional permits and then got the denial. And that's why we're here today. This new code created a conundrum for me. I purchased this property as an STR, and this code has shut that down as of now. So we're here to contest it and hopefully demonstrate that the code has been inappropriately applied to me, and hope you consider that we should be allowed to continue to operate as we have been.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think I summarized it in writing, so you can refer to that. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't have any questions.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Lynn, was there anybody else from the appellant today?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
All right. Ms. Francis, I don't know if you're here at the start of this hearing. This is not a time for general public testimony. These appeals are matters between the county and the appellant, and so only witnesses called by the county or the appellant are allowed to testify today. Okay? All right. Ms. Riles, is there anything further from the county?
I just wanted a point of clarification, if I could. So the section that Mr. Lynn was discussing in the bottom of 1188-292-EIC, where it refers to the previous Manson VR code, I wanted to clarify that there was a previous vacation rental code in Manson, the 1123-040, and that bottom section that of the code there where it says that except in the Manson urban growth area, all provisions consistent with section 1123-040 as it existed August 25th, 2020, shall be met on the effective date of the ordinance codified. So when this short-term rental code became effective, in order for any of those vacation rentals in Manson to be considered an existing non-conforming short-term rental, they had to be in compliance with everything that was in that 1123040 code at that time. And then they had up to 1 year to come into compliance with the new short-term rental code. It was not a buy. It was a, you had to be in compliance with what was then the current standard. And then you had 1 year to come into compliance with the new code. And then the other point of clarification I wanted to make was there was seemed to be some confusion on the grace periods and the time frames for the grace periods. And I don't know if Mr. Lynn was aware that there had been a discussion with the interim director, Dina Walter, and the Board of County Commissioners. And there is a document posted on the webpage that specifically addresses time associated with grace periods and the clarification for those.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, Mr. Lynn, anything further?
Yes, and I have great respect for Ms. Riles. We discuss often these type of things or some of these types of things. I disagree with the fact that on 2EIC that subsection 3 requirements must be met within 1 year for all existing STRs. It clearly calls out that there is an exception for that in the Manson Urban Growth Area. And as I stated, it is one sentence. It is not broken up into multiple sentences. So we do argue that we did meet that criteria as the effective date of the ordinance. And I see nothing else in code that says that the Manson UGA must be required to meet new conforming standards. I think the legal non-conforming designation, as you saw in the prior argument, is possibly comes into play here as well as a legal non-conforming, if the county's gonna confirm that it is an existing legal non-conforming. That's it, sir, that I have.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Grand Prix, I saw you unmuted yourself. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Not at this time.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Grand Prix and Mr. Lynn, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the record at this time. And once again, I will have my written decision made within the next 10 working days. I have some things I need to look at, especially from the arguments that were presented to me most recently. And so I will look at those carefully. All right, we'll turn to the last item on today's agenda. This is Administrative Appeal AA22-323. Again, this is an administrative appeal submitted regarding the denial of a short-term rental permit. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the appeal materials, all the noticing documents, admit all those items into the record. Indeed, I'll admit the entire planning staff file into the record and turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So this final property is located at 10560 Fox Road in Leavenworth. The applicant submitted materials to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental permit on December 13th, 2021. The Chelan County Code 1188-290-4DII states application or issuance of provisional short-term rental permit does not guarantee future issuance as previously stated. This parcel holds three dwellings in one dwelling. It's a larger dwelling with two ADUs within it. Chelan County Code 1188-200 in reference to ADU states that property owner, which shall include title holders, contract purchasers, shall occupy either the primary unit or the accessory unit as their permanent residence, and the owner does not reside here. His address for the assessor's page is 15361 US Highway 2. Chelan County Code 1188-293-AII states a short-term rental owner may operate only one short-term rental per parcel as designated on their permit application form. which may be in either the primary dwelling or the accessory dwelling unit, but not both. The owner has been renting both guest suites as noted in the included advertisement. July 26, a letter was sent to the applicant notifying them of the denial of the final permit for existing nonconforming status. And on August 4th, 2022, Administrative Appeal 22-323 was filed with Chelan County with the associated application fees. Staff recommends that the denial be upheld based on the application or the applicant not living on site and being not allowed to rent more than one dwelling on a parcel and the owner not living on site. And I'm also noting that I neglected to note in here, and I apologize, that you also are not allowed to have more than one ADU. And this dwelling has two ADUs in it and noted specifically.
Well, although the appellant, I don't believe, amended the application, he's said that he's just going to have one rental. Combine the two units, I guess, into one. Does that make a difference to the county?
Well, they both have kitchenettes. So we would have to talk to the building of the interim building official about that, because they have separate entrances. They're advertised as separate entities, and they both function as separate units. So that would be a determination to be made by the interim building official.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yes.
All right, sir. I'll have you state your name and an address for the record, and then I am going to put you under oath.
Joe Cannata. I live at 10560 Fox Road.
All right, sir, would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. And you're the applicant and now the appellant and the property owner of the property in question. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. What would you like to tell me?
Well, first of all, I've lived in that house for more than 10 years. I've never moved from there in that period of time. I've never moved out. I've always lived there. I've been renting those two rooms. I thought I was operating as a bed and breakfast, basically. People would make the reservation on Airbnb or call us directly. I provide them with coffee and coffee in the morning, and in the evenings, give them a Coudier plate. Anyways, when this process started, Luis, who was with community development, told me that we could not be a bed and breakfast, and I couldn't apply to be a bed and breakfast because my kitchen in my home was not accessible by the bedrooms downstairs, because you literally have to go out of the building and go back in the front door of my home to do that, so that we wouldn't qualify. Now, since then, other people have told me that, no, that's not true, you can. Other people at community development said, no, you could apply to be a bed and breakfast, and that would be legal. So I still haven't clarified whether I can do that or not. To make things simple, they said, I've gotten a lot of mixed messages that whether I can have two rooms downstairs and rent them or not. I don't know where the misinformation on where I live came in. I do. My mailing address is the 59er Diner, which is my business. And I send all of my mail there. So that's my mailing address. And that's noted on several documents that the mailing address is there, but that's not where I live. I live in my home. To make things simple, we just said, okay, we won't rent one of those rooms. We'll just rent, or we'll just rent to one person. So one person could come in and rent two rooms. If they want two beds, they can rent both rooms, is what I was told would be okay. Again, I don't know if at this point it was Luis or Luis's predecessor from the county that said, well, you can rent both rooms. You just have to rent them to one person. You can't rent them to two different people. So we said, okay, we'll do that. And we removed our ad on Airbnb for the second unit. And we've been operating since they told us that we needed to do that. We've been operating with just one ad and renting only one room. So at this point, our application is for one rental in the home I live in and have rented this room since I purchased it. These rooms were set up when I purchased it on the assessor's documents. It says that it's a four bedroom or five bedroom house. Those are two of the bedrooms, apparently, because there's no staircase from my home down to it. That makes it an ADU.
All right. Have you ever applied for a bed and breakfast, specifically for a bed and breakfast?
I don't think we did, because we were steered away from going that avenue.
All right. All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, other than I wasn't sure what I should send you to prove that I've lived there for 10 years. I can send you affidavits from my neighbors. Typically you would get mail that arrives at that house, but I don't get mail at that house. So I get it at my business.
And is there any dwelling uses at your property up at Cole's Corner?
Yes, there's six rental cabins up there, and that's a commercial operation. There's six one-bedroom rental cabins on that property.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. Ms. Riles, anything further?
No, thank you.
Do you have any information that is there a specific bed and breakfast application required if Mr. Cannata wants to apply for a bed and breakfast utilizing his two potential ADUs as one rental? Is there a separate application, or does he still have to go through the short-term rental permit application?
He would need to speak with a planner, and he would possibly need a CUP for that. And also probably for those cabins.
The cabins are 15 miles away on a commercial property. I don't see what they have to do with it.
So I asked that just to simply see whether or not there was a primary residence on the 59er Diner site as well or not. So, and you told me there's not. So
yeah. No, the cabin's just tipped my memory. So that those just might need a conditional use permit as well. But even for the bed and breakfast, I would suggest he speak with the planner, because he might need a conditional use permit. And that would be the person to speak with about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to, just so you know, Mr. Cannata, I'm not, I don't have anything to do with the uses up at the 59er Diner as part of this hearing. So that's not part of this hearing process. I'm just looking at the uses at what you've now indicated is your residence on Fox Road. So, as always, I'll give you the last opportunity to speak. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Cannata?
No, are there any documents that you need from me that I could send over?
I don't suggest that you submit evidence. What evidence you submit is up to you. We've had your testimony that hasn't been rebutted that you live on the Fox Road property. So I'm assuming that, you know, that testimony was under oath. And so I will proceed accordingly with my decision based upon that factual testimony.
Okay, thank you. I don't have anything further.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Cannata, I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing. Then I'll have a written decision also made within the next 10 working days. I want to thank everybody for coming and watching the proceedings today. And for those appellants and their agents that participated in the hearing, I appreciate that. There are no other items that are on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this September 7th, 2022 hearing of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner and wish everybody a nice weekend. This meeting is adjourned.